Somewhere close to 40 million people live in the state of California, we think. The numbers for right now are estimates based on the 2010 census and a bunch of other sources. Next year, 2020, there's a whole new federal census, and there's a lot riding on it. California, at 39.5 million people, could get one less representative in Congress than California at, say, 41 million. There are plenty of other things that are parceled out by population, which is why California Complete Count is gearing up to assist the federal census next year. And many, many regional and local agencies are getting involved, too. Two guests join us. Diana Crofts-Pelayo is the communications chief at California Complete Count. Thank you for joining us, Diana.
Thank you.
And Linda Cutler is with us as well from one of the regional organizations. She's the CEO at the Sacramento Regional Community Foundation. Linda, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, Diana, start with you. California puts a lot of money, somewhere north of $150 million, into this census so far. Why?
So I think that we have seen that there is this huge investment that we need to make when it comes to the 2020 census. A lot of people sometimes might not even know about the census. So it really is an informational campaign to bring awareness to the census, why it's important and why it's good for their community. I think we narrow it down to two big reasons. It's about power and it's about money. It's ensuring that that money comes back to California and to Oregon. And it's also about power. It's about ensuring that there is equal representation and there are representatives to support our communities. A little disclaimer I like to say is that we're not the U.S. Census Bureau. The U.S. Census Bureau, they're responsible for canvassing and counting people, and we just want to help get the word out. We're an on-the-ground and communications campaign effort to ensure that people know that the census is coming.
I mean, in fact, there's been discussion that the California could actually lose a congressional seat of the 53 that it's got in the House right now based on how the census comes out. So there is a lot riding on this.
There definitely is. The California Department of Finance just recently came out with a figure that if there is an undercount in California, it could cost us $1,000 per person over the next 10 years. So think about that. For every person that doesn't fill out their form or doesn't participate, there are consequences to the state. But then also, an example I like to give is, let's say, one of the most common age groups that are undercounted are children 0 to 5. So if you don't count your 2-year-old, well, in a few years when that 2-year-old wants to go to preschool, there might not be a slot for them. And that's, you know, anywhere in any state in the country. We want to make sure that we know that Californians know that it's important to be counted in their communities, and it's not just about their representation, but it's about the resources that their communities actually get.
Diana, to your knowledge, does any other state put on quite the full court press that California Complete Count does in trying to assist the U.S. Census in getting an accurate count?
You know, we like to say we're really ahead of the game. There are other states that are also putting in some funding, like New York and Illinois, but nowhere near as close as us. The budget was just finally approved and signed into law, and we have now been allocated $187 million to really do this effort. But for us, it's not just about our office or our department having the $187 million. We really believe that trusted messengers in communities will really make the difference. I'm Deanna. I live in Sacramento, and you know, people in that are listening to your radio program may not know exactly who I am, but they may really trust their local pastor or their local school teacher or whatnot to really deliver that message about the importance of the census. So that's why we've really reallocated this money back out into the community, like with the Sacramento Regional Community Foundation, to ensure that they are doing targeted on-the-ground efforts in their communities to help those populations specifically.
You anticipated very well me turning to talk to Linda Cutler, who is the CEO of the Sacramento Regional Community Foundation. Linda, tell us about the involvement of your foundation and what kinds of things will happen over the unfolding of the federal census next year.
Well, the Sacramento Region Community Foundation initially got involved with this and really supporting some of the work that was happening in Sacramento County. And as a result of that, we got very involved and very committed to making sure that there was a complete count, not just in Sacramento, but in the whole state. And what Deanna may have mentioned, but the state has been, cut into or divided into 10 regions. And so we are actually what's called the ACBO, or the Administrative Community-Based Organization, for Region 1, which extends from Sacramento all the way to the Oregon border.
I see Siskiyou, Shasta, Lassen counties all involved in Region 1, yeah.
Yes. And, as we clearly don't have a footprint that is that large, but what we chose to do was work with other foundations that do have a footprint in some of these northern counties. And so we are receiving funds from the state, which we will then re-grant to some of the other foundations that do have a footprint in some of these northern counties. And as Deanna said, the whole objective is to really make this a local effort, because what we call the hard to count population, which is, some of the ethnic groups, the different languages spoken, the young children, et cetera, that could be a very different picture in Sacramento than it might be in Shasta. So we wanted to make sure that we were working again with although we are the regional ACBO, we're working with locally relevant organizations all through these 17 counties.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all. The ACBO, in your case, Sacramento Regional Community Foundation, finds these other smaller groups that know the neighborhood a little better and work with them.
Exactly. There are colleagues, other community foundations, for instance, or other foundations that, do have relationships with the nonprofit groups and others in all of those counties and can become or knows who those trusted messengers are.
California Complete Count is about getting all the people in California, 40 million plus or minus, counted correctly in the 2020 federal census. Linda Cutler is CEO at Sacramento Regional Community Foundation, which is working in Region 1, which includes Siskiyou, Shasta, and not Trinity County, they're in Region 2. We'll talk about somebody else there. Linda Crofts Pelayo is the communications chief at California Complete Count, and you may have questions and comments about the whole process. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, these hard-to-count areas, Diana Crofts Pelayo, the HDCs, it looks like there's a mixture of urban and rural. I mean, obviously, we're talking to rural counties from this radio station, but it seems like even L.A. County's got some issues with getting counted.
Yeah, and, L.A. City is the hardest to count city and the hardest to count county and the hardest to count state in the entire nation. But, they're unique. I like to say that California is big, beautiful, and diverse, and that's why I know I love it and others do, but that's what makes it hard to achieve a complete and accurate count. For rural California, and many, think about L.A. When they think about California, but for rural California, it represents almost 90% of the state. And a lot of, in these instances, we have we're tracking areas that are difficult to count. So those that are more likely to have vacant housing units, or those who are unemployed, or households that are receiving public assistance. Those are some of the reasons why rural California is harder to count. And one of the big things that are coming up for this 2020 census is the fact that it is going to be largely online. So then what do these communities do if they don't have access to broadband internet? So that's really where the state, our regional community-based organizations, and others really come into play here.
Well, let's talk about that, because you mentioned online, so it seems like the next move would be to try to contact people by mail. But, for example, what do you do in some of these places where there's no home delivery of mail, there's only P.O. boxes?
Yeah, and what the U.S. Census Bureau has told us, that they will be walking door-to-door to drop off these paper questionnaires. So what our intention is in the state is to really ensure that these individuals are counted. We know that there are also communities that have been devastated by wildfires as well, and we are making a concerted effort to ensure that they receive the necessary services that they deserve. For example, like putting together questionnaire assistance centers where individuals can go. There's a mobile hotspot. They can go on to the laptop or call, or you know, we can assist them in filling out the questionnaire if they have any questions. So that's one of the options. But the U.S. Census Bureau is really the ones that lead the counting, the enumeration of these communities. So they have said that they will be going door to door. And if you don't fill out the questionnaire online, they're going to call you. They're going to go to your house and they're going to ask you to fill it out in paper. So it's going to be an interesting situation because we have never done this digital way before.
You had mentioned that California Complete Count doesn't do the counting. It's more about getting the information out there. And so what kinds of approaches have you thought of for reaching people who might be in these areas where they're not, they might not have broadband, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. So we recently had we are having statewide events with our local partners to really talk with them about what our statewide approach is going to be and how we need to tailor it specifically for the smaller communities. So, for example, we met recently in Red Bluff, and we really had an interesting conversation with the counties in the area and with also Sacramento Regional Community Foundation and many others to talk about those specific examples that we are going to do to ensure that these individuals are counted. I think for us, it's knowing that, yes, the 2020 census is going to be digital. It's going to be online mainly. But a people-to-people interaction is really what makes the difference in the end. And hearing it from an actual person will make that difference.
And here again, Linda Cutler, this is where you want to have lots of local partners. Do you have all the partners in Region 1 lined up, or is there still some work to be done in securing the people to help with the work of the Sacramento Regional Community Foundation?
We do have all of what we're calling our funding consortium partners lined up. As I mentioned, those are other community foundations that are very knowledgeable about the counties in which they operate, or other foundations, for instance, the Sarah Health Foundation, that has a footprint in some of these counties. And we will be working very closely with them to identify the best way to make sure that there is education about the importance of filling out the census. The concerns this year that, and Indiana mentioned some of those, certainly having it be online where there may be issues with broadband access. We also know that there is, a concern about distrust of the government. And because this is a federal program, will there be some hesitancy to fill this out? There will be issues to overcome, and that's why we are so committed to making sure that those who are really reinforcing the importance of filling out the census are these trusted messengers that understand the issues that a lot of these communities are facing, that are speaking in languages that people understand. I mean, you think about the diversity of California, you must also think about language diversity as well, right? So there are a lot of issues and a lot of, but I also like to say there's a lot of opportunity. We're so grateful that the state has invested this amount of money. I think it's unprecedented, frankly. And while other states are doing it, I do believe that California is the most committed to this, at least as it relates to funding. And we want to make sure that everybody is counted. A big issue where with an undercount is that a lot of federal funds are allocated based on the census, and these only happen once every 10 years. So if we're not successful in 2020, and there is a large undercount in 2020, we're going to feel as a state the ramifications of that all the way into 2030. When you think about the impact of not getting our fair share of federal dollars, that really is, it can be devastating.
So for the people who are aware of the American Community Survey that happens in the years between censuses, that is not used for a lot of these things you're talking about. Then it really is based on the numbers you pull in the decennial censuses.
Correct. I mean, the annual surveys are clearly data points, and they're important. But the formulas that are used to dictate federal funding are based on the every 10-year census. Yes.
We're talking to Linda Cutler, CEO of the Sacramento Regional Community Foundation, which is one of the organizations involved with trying to get a complete census count in California. We're also talking to, at California Complete Count, Diana Crofts-Pelayo, Communications Chief of the organization. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about what happens, particularly after April 1st of next year when the census is going in earnest. Join us on the exchange with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Yeah, I walked into the conversation, Diana, with the belief that you're at 154 million. We're hearing 187 million. How is that allocated? What are some of the large expenditures in there? Diana, are you there?
I am here. Sorry about that. The majority is really going to outreach efforts. So that means giving back the money to organizations like Sacramento Region Community Foundation and to the county. So we have many different contracted partners, including tribal governments, counties, community-based organizations regionally and statewide. And we're working with county offices of education as well. So we are really dedicated to that on-the-ground, person-to-person effort. Now, another good majority is going to be for a communications campaign and to really get the message across in California. And that doesn't necessarily mean, okay, let's buy some advertisement in San Francisco Chronicle. No, we want to work with the local media outlets, those that are trusted in the community, to ensure that we get that message across and that it's in language and it's culturally appropriate, too. So it is a multi-language, multifaceted effort to ensure that individuals are counted. And we really recommend people go onto our website, census.ca.gov, to look at the areas that are hard to count in California. It really looks like a kaleidoscope of colors when you open up the map. It's right there on the front page, and you can see who the hard to count is in Siskiyou County or who the hard to count is in Shasta County and the reasons why that is and seeing what languages are in your area. I think that these are some points that are important to emphasize.
Well, Linda, I have to believe that your region, Region 1, at 17 counties, is certainly one of the bigger ones in the state, and I just can't imagine how many languages that would include. I know you got certainly English, Spanish, and Hmong, among others.
Yes, it is geographically the largest with 17 counties. One of the reasons it is so large is that some of the counties, as we know, are not as populated or as dense as, say, Los Angeles, which candidly would have more language issues than our 17-county region when you think about the diversity of the population in L.A. But it is definitely daunting when you think about a 17-county region, and again, that's why we are going to be relying so heavily on our other partners to make sure that the message is delivered in each county and delivered appropriately in each county.
And I'm hearing, where possible, person-to-person contact, people that you encounter at health centers. You know, they're coming in for appointments with babies, things like that. You just want to make sure that people are getting this from people they know.
That's correct. You know, we're going to see libraries be very involved. We're going to see where they're already gathering. So, for instance, at a cultural fair or someplace like that where, you know, people are going to be going anywhere anyway, it's important that there be educational opportunities at each of these locations. Because, again, I just can't say this strongly enough. If we are not counted as individuals and as a state, we're going to feel the effects of that for 10 years.
So let me ask each of you in turn what concerns you have, if any, about the possible inclusion of a citizenship question. It is, the Supreme Court says not now, but that doesn't mean not ever. Linda, what do you think that would do to the count?
Well, you know, I think there's a concern, and I certainly share it, that if there is a citizenship question, that could significantly dampen folks who, particularly those who are undocumented or know of folks who are undocumented, from responding to the census. And, you know, regardless of one's status, if they live in this state, they are going to need to take advantage and have services available to them. So if they are not counted, you know, again, we have the issue of underrepresentation. And it just goes to the concern about, you know, if trusting government, trusting that the answers are confidential. The U.S. Census Bureau will talk about how they are going to make sure that these answers are confidential. But I think, you know, there is concern about that. And so anything that would stand in the way of someone feeling comfortable and feeling trusted, I think is a problem.
Same concern for you, Diana, at California Complete Count?
Yeah, and I would agree completely with Linda's sentiments here. What we have seen, too, is that people have a fear of the government, and we understand that, and that was probably even before a citizenship question was ever even thought of, mainly because of let's say, other people's country of origin or how the government acts there. So there's some previous history there, and we understand, but that's why we're really emphasizing an educational informational campaign that why it's important, why your community should be counted, and that the information is going to be protected at the end of the day.
A lot of talk about the census coming to California. If you're interested in getting ahead of the curve and looking at the places that are hard to count, as Diana mentioned, you can go to census.ca, that's California.gov, census.ca.gov. Diana Crofts Pelayo is Communications Chief at California Complete Count. Linda Cutler is the CEO of the Sacramento Regional Community Foundation, covering Region 1, including Shasta and Siskiyou counties. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.